Welcome in, everybody, and happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home at work. I just heard that I-235 may have a little bit of trouble going eastbound, so be careful out there. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter. It's at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website, 1700thechamp.com. With all the sports that we have on the radio, all these, the baseball games, the football games, you have Twins and Angels tonight and tomorrow, Sunday, triple header, Monday, double header. You can always go to the website and click on the live microphone and you can listen to everything that's being, that's on the radio. So take advantage of that. To talk about those, Twins and Angels is tonight. It's a 6:30 pregame, and we have Saturday we have Twins and Angels. It's a 12:30 pregame, and then Sunday you have Chargers, Vikings, Cowboys, Cardinals, Steelers, Raiders, Monday night Eagle Buccaneers, and joined in progress is the Rams and the Bengals. So a ton of stuff to get to and to listen to. We also have our sponsors of our show is Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlands Medical Center. It's a great pleasure to have all of them be a part of our show. Okay, so we have a ton of things to talk about today. B-Style's coming in at 5:21 today as well. We're going to talk Bears with him, Vikings with him, Hawkeyes with him, Cyclones with him. We'll get through all of those. Maybe a little bit of college football. There's a lot of really good college football games out there this week. We're going to talk about that. We'll go through our Friday, write this stuff down. These are the games we're going to pick. These are the spreads. What are we going to bet on? I've actually had, shouldn't say this live on the radio because then it's just going to go away, but I've had a really good first 2 weeks of the season with my BetMGM account. Thank you, BetMGM. And they've been very, very nice because there's a lot of free stuff out there right now. So if that is something you like to do, there's all kinds of different FanDuel, there's BetMGM, all kinds of stuff that you can do. It's interesting. It just makes some of the games funner. I don't necessarily need to do it. I just enjoy doing it. We have all of that going on, so let's start with the NFL football game last night. And, you know, I try not to get carried away about listening to sports announcers and all Fox Sports and ESPN and all that, because sometimes it gets a little annoying because what we are, and I guess this goes with sports talk radio to somewhat, and you know, all the talking heads on TV, it's something that I try not to. I'm not going to sit in here and say something to be provocative or to get somebody mad. I mean, I say what I think. I say things I'm going to do, and you know, that's it. I'm not trying to get hits or likes, or I just want to have an honest conversation with my radio audience. That doesn't always happen. And I don't know what Brock Purdy ever did to any of these talking heads on TV. And it's not all of them, but I guarantee you it's more than 50% of them. Well, we need to stop talking about him because he's just not that good. I'm like, okay, I don't know what you need him to do, but since he started playing quarterback, he is 8-0. He didn't finish the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't count that as a loss. He got hurt during the game. We have no idea what was going to happen if he'd have stayed in the game. But what he does and what he has done during the regular season is he goes out and he takes Kyle Shanahan's game plan and runs it to perfection. today the big one is, well, you can't put him in the MVP race, even though he has his team undefeated. And the number one thing that everybody tells you is, and they said this about Parsons, you cannot win the MVP if you're not a quarterback, because it used to be a few years ago, a lot of running backs were MVPs. It's hard to be a wide receiver and be the MVP, because if you're having a great year, that means the quarterback's having a great year, and the quarterbacks get all the kudos. Not Brock Purdy for some reason. And I'm not saying this about everybody. I just listened to Maggie and Pearl. Well, I don't know how good he is. Look at all the yards they get after the catch. And, you know, they're short passes and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, do you really think that Patrick Mahomes, every single pass that Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or Tom Brady or any of those, Tom Brady is the mastermind of getting passes out quick and getting yards after catch. That's why they have a yak out there, yards after catch. It matters. So if things go wrong, it's Brock Purdy's fault. If things go right, well, look what Debo Samuel did. He broke some tackles and he got this. Oh, Kyle Shanahan, he's a magician. Look at all the things that he can do and get through that. So this is my question for all those folks, and I'll take it a couple of different directions. Number one, if it's Kyle Shanahan and it's not Brock Purdy, then why didn't they win games with Trey Lance? And that's what you would hear. Crickets. Well, he's just not very good. Okay. So if he's not very good, but Brock Purdy with Kyle Shanahan can complete those passes and win football games, then why is he not talked about as being a good quarterback? Do I think that he deserves to be in the running for the MVP race? No. His overall picture of work is amazing. He has to continue to do it. Every single game they have, there's more and more and more film out there on him. The problem is, I don't think Kyle Shanahan cares. And I don't think Brock Purdy cares. And for all the people out there last night saying that, well, he just throws short passes, and you know that's and then his wide receivers, and he has Christian McCaffrey, and he has this and he has that, and I'm just sitting there going, I don't know how to make it go away. I really don't. I listen, I don't want to give him all the kudos and all of that if it's not well deserved. I can't think of someone who's played 8 games in the NFL and has gone 8-0 that you wouldn't have people talking about him. But they don't want to, because he's not sexy. He was the last pick in the draft. Should have never been the last pick in the draft. If you want to know why he was the last pick in the draft, there's 32 teams in the NFL. I guarantee you right now, if you brought in some of the talking heads out for all the shows, and you sat him in this room with me, and I said, out of 32 teams going into a draft, how many do you guys trust that they're going to make the right picks at the right time for the right fits for their teams? If they got to 16, I would tell you I would be amazed, because I don't think there's that many. I don't think there's that many teams that could even figure out Brock Purdy. The San Francisco 49ers are different. I've said it before. I watched Patrick Mahomes play college football, and you could see raw talent, but he didn't have somebody coaching him that could get it out of him. He went to the perfect place, and he went to the perfect place because nobody else knew. Brock Purdy went to the perfect place. He went to Kyle Shanahan. And for all the people, so here's the second part of that. For all the people out there that want to say, well, they didn't succeed with Trey Lance, and they traded three number one picks and all that. They're going to have to pay the consequences for that, and it's going to come back and bite them. No, it's not, because they have a quarterback that's not making any money. Daniel Jones last night played how Daniel Jones played, and I can look at the box score. It is not pretty. It is not Brock Purdy, that's for sure. Daniel Jones was 22 for 32 for 137 yards and an interception, sacked twice for 16 yards. His QBR was 41.6. Brock Purdy was 25 for 37 for 310, two touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked twice. His QBR was 58.3. His quarterback rating was 111. Daniel Jones's quarterback rating was 64.2. Do you want to know the difference between Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy besides what happened on the field? Daniel Jones is costing them $40 million a year. Brock Purdy's costing the San Francisco 49ers $850,000. Let me repeat that. $850,000. The San Francisco 49ers right now, heading into next year with all their contracts and having everybody done that they need to be done, has over $49 million left on their salary cap. There are teams right now in the NFL that are negative, very big negative numbers. I can't understand why you have to, number one, I don't know why people have to look at what Brock Purdy's doing and say he needs to be in the MVP race. He could care less. The San Francisco 49ers could care less. Kyle Shanahan could care less. I think us as fans would love to see it because we're happy for him. But it doesn't matter. And I don't understand where the hatred. And it's, I get it. It's not hatred. And it's just, they don't understand. And here, I finally found it. That's what I was looking for. It said, the biggest criticism of Brock Purdy is he only throws screens to players who save him with yards after catch. Here's his breakdown through three games. Behind the line of scrimmage, he's 14 for 17 for 108 yards, zero touchdowns. Short passes, 0 to 9. He's 25 for 37, 227 yards, 0 touchdowns. Beyond the sticks, 10 to 19 yards. He's 10 of 19. 10 to 19 yards. He's 19 of 21 for 324 yards and 2 touchdowns. Deep, 20 plus. He's 3 for 8 for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you add all those together, he's completing over 60% of his passes, no matter where it is. And out of all of those, the beyond the sticks, he has 27 just from in between the sticks, he's 25 for 37, and behind the line of scrimmage, he's 14 of 17. It sounds like really good play calling to me. So I had to get that out of my system, because he also last night, the New York Giants did something that, and good for them. It didn't do them any good, but good for them that they took a flyer. A lot of teams have been sitting back and trying to get Brock Purdy to make a mistake. Maybe throw into double coverage. Maybe throw somewhere where he's not supposed to. What did the Giants do last night? Brock Purdy dropped back 39 times. So once again, let's throw away the fact that it's the running game and it's Christian McCaffrey and all that. He dropped back 39 times last night. He saw blitzes on 33 of the 39 dropbacks. That's the highest blitz rates in a game in the next-gen stats era. Likewise, Brock Purdy, in seeing all of those, when he was blitzed on those 33, was 20 for 31 for 247 yards and 2 touchdowns. So applying all the pressure that you can afford to apply to try to get him to mess up, he didn't. The only thing that he's done wrong in the year and a half that he's been playing is against Philadelphia, he tried to complete a pass with a guy in front of his face, and he got his arm hit, and he did damage to his elbow. That's the only thing that he's done wrong. That's it. And he smiles too much and doesn't brag about himself like other people do, and that ticks people off too. I know I just used this first segment to do that. And listen, I know that he has flaws. I've seen them. I've seen them in college. Now, I thought those might just be Brock Purdy flaws. And possibly they are. But it could also be play calling. It also can be route running. It also can be there's a load of things that can be. All I know, fan, not a fan, like or love the 49ers, like or love Brock Purdy, stop with trying to second guess. Maggie's like, well, he has no reason to be even into the talk of the NFL MVP because he just doesn't do enough. What he's doing is he's leading the San Francisco 49ers into being one of the top three teams in the NFL. I am quite sure, almost positive, that's what you want out of somebody that you want to promote for an MVP candidate. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We got plenty more to talk about, a ton of games to talk about. B-Styles comes this weekend. We'll get into that here in just a second. You are listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We have Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ and Facebook at 1700 The Champ. We have Twins and Angels tonight, 6:30 pregame. Twins and Angels tomorrow. Sunday we have Chargers, Vikings, Cowboys, Cardinals, and Steelers Raiders are the night game. Monday is the Eagles and Buccaneers and the Rams, Eagles and the Buccaneers, and then Rams at Bengals. It will be joined in progress. So you have all of that going on. The first one today, as always, is Northwest Bank. Taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way, located in West Des Moines. Two locations in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to NWBank to take advantage, .bank, to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit Newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at NW.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. So just talking a little bit, I'm gonna finish up just really, really quick on Brock Purdy. It took me a while. And I said, I don't know if I want to, but I do. Because it also said, I had some things, you know, so I say the stuff I say. And he goes, well, if he would have went somewhere else, he wouldn't be doing this. I don't know if I totally agree, but if he was with the New York Giants, with what they have going on, or if he's with somebody else, that could be. The great thing for Brock Purdy is he's with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's made a lot of people look good. I have a feeling that if you ask Kyle Shanahan right now, he'd say Brock Purdy makes him look good. The second one that I got smacked back for already on social media, well, they ran the ball last night, and so they really didn't need him to do anything. I'm like, what in the hell game were you watching? He threw the ball 37 times last night. They ran the ball 39 times last night. Number one, 32 teams in the NFL, maybe 10 teams. And if you look at those 10 teams that have a pretty even 50-50 split between runs and passes, most of those 10 teams, when you look at the standings, they're all going to be at the top of their standings. Very, very rarely are you going to see them not be. So they had a very even relationship between the run and the pass. And what that does, and here's the one thing that we don't talk about that he happens to be really, really good at, and he was amazing at Iowa State with it too, is his ball handling technique. His ability to play action is unheard of. You just, not very many people in this league have play action ability that he does. He just has an easy way of hiding the ball and getting rid of the ball quick. But once again, they threw. They threw last night for, they threw 37 times for an average of 8.4 yards. They ran the ball last night 39 times. If you take him away from just either sacks or that, you take four of those away. So say 35 times for a 3.6 yards per average. I don't understand. And listen, there's nobody with the San Francisco. Well, maybe the San Francisco 49ers are. I mean, if you're going to have an MVP and some of the criteria is for MVP, hey, your stats need to be good. Okay, stats are good. You have to have a winning football team. They're on top of their conference. And I don't even know what the other criteria would be. But here's the third one that I got. Well, he doesn't have the same leadership qualities as some of these guys have. He's not a leader of men yet. He's played 8 games. He was Mr. Irrelevant, and he's a damn captain on the San Francisco 49ers, who almost went to the Super Bowl. They lost in the championship game last year. He's a captain. You don't get to be captain of an NFL football team if you don't have characteristics that really matter. It's okay. So there, I'm done. I'm not going to say any more until somebody smacks back at me again. And it just, it comes too easy. If you were going to do anything, if you were going to complain about him, his arm strength, or any of that, I'd let it go. But don't tell me he's not a leader of men, and don't tell me that he's fake, he can't be this nice, he can't be this kid. Then you don't watch social media, you don't know his family, you don't know how they are. I mean, I'm sorry. We love to build people up, and then we love to tear them down. We're struggling to build him up because we want to tear him down before we can even build him up. So I don't know what to tell people when they're going to be that angry about a young man that's not doing anything except for excelling and winning football games. Okay, so big games this weekend. Let's talk about the two. Let's start with Iowa-Penn State. If Iowa-Penn State, the way Iowa has the one thing that travels. They have defense, they have special teams, and they can run the football. And if what happened didn't happen last week, I would say I would probably take pretty strong take that I think that Iowa, and they, trust me, they still can go in and win that football game. But I would have had a strong take saying, I see no reason at all that Penn State cannot go, that Iowa cannot go into Penn State in a whiteout with 106,000 people screaming and yelling and win that game. Here's my issues. Penn State, unlike some other years, are pretty high powered. Their offense is pretty high powered. Their defense is good. Their special teams are good. They're a better football team than they have been, say, the last 3 or 4 years. Iowa doesn't have two of its running backs. It doesn't have their tight end, who's a huge part of that. If you know the Iowa Hawkeyes, that's a huge part. Now, they have other tight ends, and maybe they'll step up. But once again, yes, you're playing a 6:30 game in Penn State, 106,000 people, a whiteout. It's going to be incredible. And the other sticking point for me is that I still don't know how healthy Cade McNamara is. And I think the one thing that Penn State's going to do is Penn State's going to make him get out of the pocket. They're going to rush to see if he can maneuver and still make throws. Now, the other part of that is it's probably, of all the teams that Iowa's going to play, this is probably the highest-powered offense until, if they have to play Ohio State or Michigan in the Big Ten Championship. And that's the one downfall is no matter any point in time who they're playing, I just don't know if they can outscore you. They're just not built that way. Kirk Ferentz isn't built that way. Brian Ferentz isn't built that way. None of that. If I was betting this game, if I was just betting it on win-loss, I would take Penn State. If you're making me take the point spread, I would take Iowa because I don't think Penn State's going to beat them by 14.5. And if I was doing the over-under, I would go under. Now, the really bad thing for that is that sometimes I'm not very good at this. But what do I need to see to say that Iowa's going to win this game? Get a lead? Be able to run the football at some point in time and have no errors. And you're going to need a couple of turnovers. If you're going to stay within the line and do all, you're going to have a couple of turnovers. I think that's a given. It's just not an easy place to play. And if that game was being played at Kinnick, I think it would be, I guarantee you that I don't think the point spread would be 14.5, but I think with the injuries, it might be close. But I think with the fans, I think that gives you a better shot at keeping it close or pulling out a win. I just don't know where the firepower is going to come from. And maybe that's the great thing about having injuries. Maybe we don't know where the firepower is going to come from, and it's going to show up, and you're going to go, wow, I did not know that. Or, wow, I didn't know that one either. It's just a game. And it's a game that to get to the Big Ten Championship, this game doesn't matter. So just go out and do your thing. When you're talking about Iowa State, it's a totally different thing. And it's a totally different thing because of what happened last week. And the reason of concern is, wow, how did that happen last week? Because it shouldn't have. That's a stepping stone game that you should have taken care of, and you should have been able to run the ball, and you should have been able to play action pass, and you have to, I don't have to say this when I'm talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes. This is one of the frustrating things. And for Iowa State, it's only one now. Before, it was punting and kicking. Punting, we're good. We can't miss field goals. We especially can't miss close field goals. It is no different than the Iowa Hawkeyes cannot miss field goals tomorrow. If they get into a point where they can put points on the board, they have to put points on the board. And when you look at this game, Oklahoma State is 2-1, Iowa State is 1-2. Oklahoma State so far, they have played, as I pull it up here, they played Central Arkansas, won 27-13. They played Arizona State, won 27-15. And they lost to South Alabama 33-7. If you look at those three, Arizona State is not a good football team. South Alabama should not be 26 points better than you. And they should have beat Central Arkansas by more than 27-13. They struggle. They struggle. They give up points. They don't rush the ball very well. They don't pass the ball very well. But none of that matters when it's Iowa State and you're trying to figure out what you need to do. We know what our defense can do. But what our defense needs is we can't turn the ball over. And whenever we're in scoring position, reasonable scoring position, we have to put points on the scoreboard. Now, here's the thing that is going to put a wrench in everything that happens tomorrow. This game kicks at 3:00. you're going to have fans there. Weather doesn't look good. There's threats of severe storms. If you've ever been to a game where there's severe storms and you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out, it's not a lot of fun. So you're going to have that hanging over. And I'm just, once again, just ahead of time for all you folks that are getting ready to go up there. Most everybody is going to be in lots by 9 o'clock. Severe weather could start at 11. You have to be somewhere where you can get in a car, do something, batten down the hatches, all those things. Everybody be careful. Heed the warnings, and you're going to get them. And the people at all these stadiums are really, really good about what they do. And it was nice. One of the first things that my wife did this week is we got a email from Jamie Pollard. If you ever want to know what a great athletic director does, if he hears problems and he knows what the problems are, he sends out responses. It's been a struggle for us that are parking across the street from the stadium. It's a great thing. It's a great lot. It's $25. I think it's $25 per game, and they only sell a certain amount of spots, and you can get in there. It's been horrific to get out, and it hasn't been great getting in, and the way they've been parking people hasn't been great. But he sent out and said, we're going to be better. Now, the thing that they didn't understand is heading east out of there after the game, there's road construction going on. So it's very slow traffic. And they just are not letting people go out to the left. Even when the traffic is not that bad going to the left, they just weren't letting traffic, going to the west, they just weren't letting it go. But he saw it, and he's going to try to take care of it. That's all we can ask for. Last week, getting into the stadium, getting into Sukup, getting into all those places was much, much better. It's a learning experience, folks. I mean, technology's awesome, but we live in a world that not everybody loves technology, or not everybody can readily, easily use technology. And I think I'm pretty good at technology, and I'm not. I'm not, when it compared to my young kids, I'm nowhere near that. But that's my take, just my quick take on the Iowa game, my take on safety for the Iowa State game. When we come back from this break, I'll kind of break down Iowa State, Oklahoma State as quickly as I can, and then we'll get to some college games, some pro games, tell you where I'm going, where I'm betting, what we're looking at. I got some baseball talk. I got some high school talk. There's a lot going on. Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700, the champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Be safe out there. Drive home safely. Enjoy the weekend. A little crazy weather maybe this weekend, but temperatures are awesome. The day is going to be awesome. Got plenty of football. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 the champ. We have Twins Angels tonight, and we have Twins and Angels tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, 12:30. And then we kick into football. We have Chargers, Vikings, Cowboys, Cardinals, Steelers, Raiders on Sunday, and Eagles, Buccaneers, and Rams, Bengals on Monday. So we have a lot to be looking forward to. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. Once again, I want to thank Broadlawns for giving us the opportunity to, have the ability to talk about them and all the good things that they are doing, are going to do. They are, the way they're maneuvering and what their outcome down the road is what it's going to do. It's going to help a lot of people in the Des Moines area and surrounding communities. It's just a different outlook, a different way to look at things, and a different way to help people. And it's been a pleasure to be able to talk about them, meet people, do some things, see the new clinic down at Drake, and to listen, to go celebrate with them at the Rose Soiree and listen to their the staff and some of the things that happen in their new birthing center. And one of the big things for me is their mental health and mental well-being as it has to deal with Alzheimer's and some of the things that are coming up and coming forward, which for me is huge because I lost my father to Alzheimer's. And it is a debilitating, sickening disease that is not fun to be a caretaker. It's not fun for the person, and it hurts. And what they're wanting to do and how they want to help is something that needs to be done, because it can happen to me. It can happen to my three boys. It can happen to their kids when they have kids. If it's there, it's there. And the more we know, the more we can try to combat it, the more we can do precondition coming in, it is huge. And so I'm really looking forward to being able to enjoy some time with Broadlands. I wanted to go through, I took some pictures, or, you know, of things that I wanted to talk about today. And one of them, once again, I want to keep mentioning this as much as I can, because I want to make sure that people are prepared tomorrow. And I know that a lot of us do not tailgate within walking distance to your car or quick walking distance. You need to heed warnings. And if you need to get to vehicles, you need to get to them. So please do that tomorrow. It's not one that, you know, hey, stay underneath your tent and hold on for dear life and go. You just don't want to do that. One of the big things, and once again, as always, I will give credit where credit is due to Murph and Andy. I thought this was really a good poll question. What happens this weekend? Which of these things happens this weekend? What's the higher percentage? Iowa and ISU both win. ISU wins, Iowa loses. Iowa wins, ISU loses, both lose. If you had ISU wins and Iowa loses, that's 46%. Both lose is 38%. Iowa and ISU both winning is 6%, and Iowa wins and ISU loses is 10%. So not great odds out there, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen, because that's the one I want to see. I'll take us both winning any day. And I think that would be perfectly fine. And this was another one, and I want to jump in here so I can take this back a step and look at some of the games that are coming up this weekend in college football. Two big games for two coaches this weekend. And trying to get there, so just give me, be patient with me here. One, and this was an interesting one too. Friday night game, a Big Ten Friday night game. Wisconsin, Purdue, North Carolina State, Virginia's tonight. Boise State and San Diego State. That's a game that matters. And Air Force San Jose is tonight. Two of these teams, both of these guys, have huge games this weekend. Dabo Swinney with Clemson plays Florida State. Florida State is coming to Clemson. Florida State is 3-0 in the ACC and ranked number 4 in the country. And Clemson's 2-1 and not ranked. And then the next biggest game, because these are two of the biggest coaches, and I think that's why they were out there. Number 15, Ole Miss, goes into Alabama. And it is, who needs a win more this weekend, Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban? If you talk to the fan bases, I think you're going to be split, because I think the fan bases think their coaches need to get these wins. I don't know if I necessarily agree that they need. I mean, they've got a lot of goodwill banked here. I think Dabo Swinney might be in more trouble. I think Nick Saban, it's just going to get to a point with Nick Saban that the name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal is just going to be enough to where he's just like, okay, maybe it's time for me to ride off into the sunset. Dabo Swinney's not in the same category, but this is one of those things, and we've talked about this on this show continuously. The biggest thing about the transfer portal and the biggest thing about name, image, likeness is it means that the top 15% of high school athletes aren't going to be going to five schools in the country because you can't all go there and you can't all play. But before, when you had to look at the one thing that you were looking at, first off, was only four teams make it to the championship game. So if you're not consistently with one of those four teams, you don't have the chance. And a lot of these kids, that's what they want to do. I want to win a championship. I want to win a conference championship, and I want to win a national championship, and then I want to go to the NFL. But on top of that, I want to be able to make money off my name, image, and likeness, and that's where the kicker is there, is it's not enough just to go somewhere to do that. Now, the NCAA has changed a couple of things. First off, now it's a 12-team playoff. So now that gives you a lot bigger chance. So instead of being four teams that are consistent, if you want to throw them out there, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, and whoever else, USC. Let's throw USC in there, of being consistently there. Well, now there's 12, so that opens it up way more, and I don't have to go, or LSU. LSU would be one too. I don't have to go to LSU. I don't have to go to Alabama. I don't have to go to Ohio State. I don't have to go to those schools. I can go to other schools, get more playing time, get more NIL money, and that's where the transfer portal comes in too. Because if you're not playing, then you can move elsewhere. Now, do I think the transfer portal needs to be reined in? To a certain extent, yes. I think there should be rules. And my thought process is the rules need to be followed by athletic directors, by coaches, and by student athletes. So if you have a signed contract and you're the coach at wherever, let's just take TCU. TCU wants to hire the TCU coach. There better be some pretty big compensation for TCU before you can take a coach away who's still under contract. I mean, it's the wild, wild west. When a college team or a professional team comes to your school and wants to take your coach, nobody says anything. Well, that shouldn't matter. That has been the biggest lie throughout this whole thing. Is students shouldn't be going where coaches are. They should be going to the university they want to go to. When you're talking about sports, that is a bunch of horse crap. You're going where you think you're going to get the best coaches, and you're going to try to get where the best coaches are because they get the best results. And if that coach leaves, you should have that same ability. I don't care if it's one time you go and a coach leaves and you transfer somewhere else and that coach leaves. Every single time that you are in a situation and your head coach leaves, I think you should have the ability to leave. Every time that you have, if something happens with your family and you need to move closer to them, I'm good with that. And then I think you get one transfer. One transfer, everybody gets one. And if you can't deal with that and you don't want to deal with that, then you're in the wrong line of business, because that's the way things are. It's the way things are in the business world. It's the way things are in the world. And it should be the same way as it is in collegiate sports. I'm sorry. It's time that we forget trying to appease multimillionaire coaches and bypass not caring about student-athletes. And the biggest one is, well, they're not student-athletes if they're getting paid. Yes, they are, because they still go to class and they still graduate. The graduation rate of Division I athletes is way higher than people want you to think it is. And that's a non-starter for me. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I'm going to hit the biggest college games. Then we're going to hit the biggest NFL games. Talk a little high school football in the state of Iowa. Be right back. Once again, still have some backed up traffic on I-235. Slowing down traffic heading the other way. Be safe. Be careful. Get home. Enjoy the weekend. A lot of football. Baseball season's coming to an end. The postseason's coming up. It's a great time to be loving some sports. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Oh, boy. I just lost my train of thought. You ever get that? I'm getting old enough where, man, I can lose my train of thought really quick. I just thought of something else, and I'm like, no, I have to say this. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins and the Angels, Friday and Saturday. Sunday, you're going to get the Chargers, Vikings, Cowboys, Cardinals, Steelers, Raiders, Eagles, Bucks on Monday, Rams, Bengals on Monday. And if you're looking for the UNI Panthers, it's a bye week. And then they got some big games coming up. So we'll look forward to talking to J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers on Tuesday. B. Styles is coming up in the next segment. He is a Bears fan living in Minnesota, so he has to talk Vikings. He has to talk White Sox because he doesn't really want to talk White Sox. But I make him talk Twins. A lot of things going on, but I'm pretty excited to see and get to talk to B. Styles. And then we'll finish the day off with some potpourri with the weekend. Wanted to go through, I have to do this first. Thank goodness I have this ability to go on the fly here. What do I have? I have Heritage Building Maintenance. Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care. Be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing a peace of mind and protecting our future by being a certified partner of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you very much for being a part of this program. Okay. So I wanted to jump through and look at some of these games, and I was going to write this stuff down so I can see how bad I am again. When I'm betting on my phone, I do a lot better job than when I'm speed talking here. So let me see what we got going on here. Here we go. All right. So the first big game, I actually think this may be a big game for tonight. I think the Wisconsin-Purdue game is a big game. It's in Purdue. I think Purdue can move the ball. It's a big game for Wisconsin if they want to stay in the hunt with Iowa and with everybody else. They need to win this game tonight. On the road, Wisconsin's favored by 5.5. I am going to take versus Purdue. I am going to take Wisconsin. I'll take Wisconsin with 5.5 points, and I would take the over under too. I would take the over 54. So I'm going over 54. Next big game is, it comes up tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I think it's a big game because Rutgers is 3-0. I know it. They're going into Ann Arbor. They're going to the Big House. I mean, it's difficult. I think Michigan wins that game. They're 24.5-point favorites. I'm going to take, and I wish I didn't have to do this, but I'm going to take 24.5 points. Boy, that's a ton. I'm going to take Michigan to cover. And the over-under on that game is 43.5. I'm going to take the over on that game. Next big one, and this is a huge game. It's a huge game for Florida State and Mike Norvell, their coach. They go to Clemson, not an easy place to play. And right now they are looking at Florida State is a 2-point favorite. I think Florida State, man, I want to trust Mike Norvell, but I can't. I'm taking Clemson. I get points. The over-under on that game is 55. I think it's going to be an over game. I think Clemson gets that win. All right, the next game, Oklahoma traveling at Cincinnati. First big test for welcome to the Big 12. Oklahoma is a 14-point favorite. So with that being said, I'm going to take Cincinnati and the points. And the over-under on that game is 57.5. I'm going to take the over. Let's see here. We have Auburn. Man, I'd like to say this is a big game. So Auburn is going to Texas A&M. At some point in time, Texas A&M is going to need to win a game. Texas A&M is a 8-point favorite. So I'm going to take Auburn. I'm going to take the points. The over-under in that game is 51.5. I am going to take the over. Next up, we have, let's see here. This is interesting games. I'm really interested in this one. It's SMU-TCU. TCU is favored by 6.5. I'm going to take TCU. And the over-under is 63. I'm going to take the under. Maybe TCU can play some defense. Next big game, and this one is it's going to be one of the most watched games because it has Colorado in it. Colorado is at Oregon. Oregon is a 21-point favorite. I think this is the time that, especially without one of their best players, I think this is one that Colorado is going to take on the chin. I think they're going to, I'm going to take Oregon. I'm going to take the points. I think it's too many points, but I'm going to take them. And the over under is 70. I'm going to take the under on that game as well. I think Oregon is a better team. I'm not necessarily saying they're a better coach, but I think they're the better team. And then another Pac-12, big time game, number 22, UCLA, is at number 11, Utah. Utah is a 6-point favorite. I'm taking Utah. And the over-under on that game is 52.5. And I'm going to take the under on that game as well. And see if these guys can play some defense. Another big game, Ole Miss is at Alabama. Alabama trying to find a quarterback. And listen to this, an SEC game, a ranked opponent, but Alabama is only favored at home by -6. I'm going to give Nick Saban and say he's got his kids ready to go. I'm going to give them that win. I'm going to give it to them by a touchdown. The over-under is 55.5, and I'm going to take the over. Duke-UConn, not a good game. Miami-Temple, probably not either. Nope. I like this game. BYU traveling for its first Big 12 game against Kansas. Kansas is favored by 9.5. I'm going to take that Kansas. And the over-under is 55, and I'm going to go under. See if it can be a good game. Keep them moving. Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Iowa State is favored by 3.5, which means they're pretty much favored by 0.5. Over under on this game is 35.5. I have no idea in the world why I'm doing this, but I'm going to take the over. And I am going to take Okie State because I think Iowa State's going to win by a field goal if we can make a field goal. So I'm going to take Okie State with the 3.5. Okay. That one hurts. I don't know what to expect. I really don't. I wish I did. I want to think that this Arkansas-LSU game is going to be a bigger game than what it is. I just don't know if Arkansas is good enough to stay with LSU. I'm going to bet the game because I'm going to take the over. The over is 55, so I'm going to take the over, LSU is favored in that game by 17.5. I don't know if they're going to beat him by 17.5, but I'll take the over. Another Pac-12 game of ranked opponents, number 14, Oregon State is at Washington State, who people have just left to kind of die on a vine. Oregon State is favored by 3. I'm taking Washington State. The over-under on that game is 58.5, and I'm going to take the under on that game. Sam Houston, no. Arizona Stanford, no. Southern Miss, no. UAB, Georgia, no. Texas Baylor, not a big enough game. Okay, here's the next one. We're getting down to the end here. I have Ohio State at Notre Dame. Ohio State is a 3-point favorite. I'm going to take Ohio State. I'm just not there yet on trusting Notre Dame to win a big game. 55.5. I think the under could come in there. I'm not sold on the under, but I think the under could come in there. Not any. Where is the... There it is. Okay, so here's the last one for me for college football for this week. It is the University of Iowa at Penn State, and this is 14.5 Penn State. So I'm taking Iowa and getting points. The over-under on this game is 40. I'm taking the under. And the hope is that Iowa can muck this game up and keep it close. Do I think that they can win in the whiteout at Penn State? Probably not. Do I have enough respect for them to make this a very, very interesting game? I do. I'm excited to see how well. And once again, if they were going in healthy, I think I would take Iowa as well. And I think if they were going in healthy, I don't know if this game would be 14.5 points. You just don't score that many points against the University of Iowa. So, you know, that's when you get double digit numbers and you have Iowa or Iowa State and those defensive coordinators, I just don't think that's a good call. I'm not buying into that. So that's some of the bigger games. We'll see how we do. I'll check all these. I'm hoping, because just doing this as quickly as I did, I'm hoping for over 50%. What do I have? I have that's quite a bit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's 30. I took a couple that I didn't. That's 28 bets. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to have to put some money into my BetMGM account if I'm going to do that. But I did want to just talk about a couple of these really quick. I think the Florida State Clemson game may be one of the biggest games of the weekend. And here's the reason why. I don't know, and I took Clemson in the over. I don't know if Dabo Swinney is as good as what they used to be. I think that he's one of these programs, and you're seeing it at Alabama too. They're struggling to find a quarterback. This is where you're seeing the transfer portal and all of that come into effect. Number one, Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, both of them hate the transfer portal. They don't like name, image, and likeness. More Dabo than Nick Saban. Nick Saban understands he needs to win. He's only got a couple more years left in coaching. He wants to win football games. He loves his kids. I think Dabo loves his kids as well. I just think that's really interesting. The other interesting game is if Colorado can keep that game against a healthy Oregon team within that 21 points, man, he's doing things, because here's the deal. For all those people out there that are saying that Deion Sanders is going to go to the pros, he's not going to the pros. What Deion Sanders does doesn't work in the NFL. Those guys get paid money, big-time money, and they don't need somebody trying to, even though he's in the top 10 of the greatest NFL football players of all time. So he garners that respect. It's not the same respect that he garners with these college kids. And the persona that some of these coaches and some of these, you know, talking heads want to give you is Deion's just a big blowhard, and he doesn't believe all the things he's saying. And if you get down deep with some of these kids and how he works with some of these kids and how he does things with some of these kids, that could not be further from the truth. You could not like Deion Sanders when he played football because he was flamboyant and he was all about Deion. He's still all about Deion, but he's all about Deion helping young men straighten out their lives or get ahead in life. That's what he cares about. Does he care about wins and losses? Yes, because that matters, because to be able to do the full circle, you have to win football games. But if you're out there and you think that he's not a good coach or he's not a good leader of young men or any of those things just because of prime time and how he was in the NFL, he did that in the NFL. He did a little bit at Florida State, too, because that's how he got himself psyched up to play, and that's how he knew he could make money. That's not what he believes when he's trying to help these young kids. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's been a couple of weeks. B Styles is coming in. We got a lot of games to talk about. B Styles and me, we'll be right back. Got to say this again. You got to drive home safe. It's crazy traffic out there. It's a Friday. Be safe. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. We get Twins Angels tonight and Twins Angels tomorrow afternoon. You and I is on a bye week. It's Friday. It's 5:21. That means that we have Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing all right. Just keeping my expectations for this weekend pretty low.
Okay. And you sent out your hey, I'm going to be on the show, and you had the Hawkeyes. Yep. We're going to save that for a second.
Let's save that for the end. I agree.
I want to get your take, because I've talked about this at bits and pieces throughout this whole week with Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus and the polls and the Bears and everything, and trying to not to place blame, but to go, where did this go wrong, and who in that hierarchy said, okay, what we did last year we can't do, so we're going to have to make him be something different, and then have it just blow up, and then want to try to point everybody that it's because of Justin Fields and not anybody else. It just seems crazy to me.
Well, I'll just say this. It's completely dysfunctional, and frankly, everyone's at blame.
Yeah.
And and that includes Justin. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, I didn't think he was wrong about what he said the other day, but at the same time, like, he has not played well.
No.
And, you know, I appreciate the fact he's willing to acknowledge that, but now's your, like, for him, this is his opportunity, because if he doesn't turn it around, they're going to be picking high next year. And they have Carolina's first-round pick as well, so they could conceivably have two, let's say, top five picks. What's to stop them from drafting a Caleb Williams or a Drake May at that point?
I agree.
But that aside, it's also Eberflus, because the things that aren't working, like, he's either allowing it to happen or he's not doing something to change it. And the same can be said for Luke Getsy. The whole Allen Williams thing, I'm not going to, like, the reality is we don't really know what's going on with that, but that whole thing is bizarre. I appreciate the fact that Ryan Poles, like, was at least willing to talk to the media yesterday and, you know, kind of put on that face of, okay, we understand what's going on here. We're going to try to do something about it. But I think it's safe to say at this point that so far the results, at best, it's, you know, you're still in to be determined mode. At worst, it hasn't gone well.
No, and Ryan Pace is at fault here too. So
Ryan Poles.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But it just the whole thing. It's just it's completely dysfunctional. It's coming at a really bad time. Like people are saying, oh, at least it's early in the year that you're going to have this dysfunction as opposed to later in the season. I've seen it all before with this franchise. And the reality is I'm looking at this weekend. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. My only saving grace is that our former head coach is their offensive coordinator. And
that helps you.
So the Bears might cover the 12.5 point spread. Maybe.
I guess where I'm at with all of this is, and Ryan Poles is to blame even a little bit more. I understand that they weren't the ones that took Justin Fields, but you know he's there. You know you have to work with him. And what did you do? You hired a defensive coordinator as your head coach. And the one thing that is slowing the progress of Justin Fields is they can't stop anybody. And if you're bringing a defensive guy in, the one thing you're hoping, if he's not going to be able to help Justin Fields, is that the defense is going to be outstanding.
And look, it was one thing last year because obviously they were trading Roquan Smith, they were trading Robert Quinn. You knew that they were scrapping everything and, you know, going into total rebuild mode. So you understood it a year ago, even with all the losses that they were accumulating. What's frustrating is they didn't really do a whole lot in the offseason to address that. Aside from, okay, they added a couple linebackers, which is nice, but if you don't have any pressure coming from up front, they're not going to be as effective, you know. I think back to when the Bears had guys like Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs. Those guys are great in their own right. But what also helped make them great was having guys like Tommy Harris, Adewale Ogunle, Alex Brown up front, you know, being able to get some pressure, being able to win battles in the trenches because that made their lives easier. They're trying to run a similar defense, and frankly, it's outdated from what it was 15, 20 years ago. And for me, I think – what really is the biggest problem of all, and it's a matter of is anybody going to acknowledge it, it's the whole organization. And it goes beyond Ryan Poles. It goes beyond everybody you mentioned. It's the fact that the same problems continue to persist now for the last 25, 30 years, and whether it be a head coach and a quarterback not being on the same page, or the quarterback and the offensive coordinator not being on the same page. We don't have the time to go through every single quarterback, but everybody knows the list.
It's a big list.
They've seen the coaching changes that have been going on, especially over the last 10 years. Like it's a complete mess. And, you know, it's different from like what you saw in Washington with Dan Snyder, because, you know, he was just terrible
in
his own right. But I'm not going to put the McCaskies on that level, but it's just the way that this has been trending. It's been bad for a while. Like, and the fact that you're off to this 0-2 start and you've looked as awful as you have, and you knew darn well, okay, you're going into Kansas City this weekend. So, like, that was probably never going to be a win to begin with. So winning one of those first two games is important. Instead, now they're looking at 0-3, and they're looking at something where next season, yeah, they might have those top picks again, but they might have to completely start over yet again.
Yeah, and you're right. The Washington Commanders, that's nefarious. I mean, it's just gross misconduct. The Bears is just incompetence right now. It's hard to take when you have that fan base being that into it. Before we get to the Hawkeye-Penn State game.
I just wanted to say one other thing. Like,
go ahead.
The two things that came up, that have come up here recently that are just still kind of mind-blowing when you really think about it. One is that the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer ever in their franchise, and they've been around for over 100 years. And I think they're the only NFL team that never has. The other is I saw a crazy stat last week when the Vikings are playing the Eagles that Justin Jefferson has already accumulated more receiving yards than any Chicago Bear ever. You're talking about like receiving yards, like the all time, like he would already be the all time leader in receiving yards in a little over 3 years. Like that's just, it's mind blowing and disgraceful just how, like, and granted, the defensive side of the ball, it's been legendary, and that's great. But to completely be negligent with quarterback and with receivers, especially with the way football's been going for the last 25, 30 years, it's just, it goes back to what we've been saying. It's been complete incompetence.
Yeah. So before we hop to the Iowa-Penn State game, a lot of people, and I'm not particularly sure why there's Brock Purdy hate out there. And it's not bad hate. It's just like, well, we need to stop giving him so much credit because he's playing with the 49ers. And I'm like, have you seen some of the quarterbacks the 49ers have had over the past few years?
I have a theory as to why this is. I know where you're going.
Yeah, I don't understand why you can't just give this kid the benefit of the doubt and say, in this system, he's one of the best fits that you could have in this system.
Right. And I think it's kind of a gift and a curse. It's because of the system.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, okay, hey, I can just dump it off to Christian McCaffrey. I could just dump it off to Deebo Samuel. Or, you know, hey, it's a third down. Oh, hey, there's George Kittle. I could just get him the ball. And yes, anybody who watches the 49ers, of course, is going to acknowledge that the pieces around him are greater than him. But
yeah.
So like you said, I think it's a combination of that and being a late pick. And dare I say, like, we kind of saw this before. I don't think he's going to obviously become Tom Brady, but it's very similar to what Brady was in the beginning with New England, which is, hey, he's just a guy, don't screw it up, because we got pieces in place that if things go our way, we can be really good. And I think people also look at the fact that he came off that elbow injury and he was able to start week one,
yep,
which seems kind of amazing because you see baseball players that have similar injuries, particularly pitchers, and they sit out an entire year.
And the crazy thing is, B, he made for this year, he's making $850,000.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel right. Jones is making $40 million.
Right. I think what it stems from is the fact that people can see what he's doing and they could be like, oh, any quarterback can do that. But like you said, you got to be able to be a fit too. You got to be somebody that fits that ideal that the coaches have. And to his credit, he's been that guy for them.
Yep. We're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at TheBStyles on Twitter. All right, let's jump into this.
Yep.
If you pick up the paper on Sunday morning and you have an Iowa victory at Penn State, this happened. What's the this?
Something on special teams, I think, would be first and foremost for me. And I'm not just thinking back to 2009 with the block punt by Adrian Claiborne. I really think that this is something where there's going to need to be some sort of spark, and that might be the one area where Iowa does have an edge, whether it be with Torrey Taylor, you know, getting field position, or let's say a Penn State player muffs a punt, or – you know, let's say there's an onside kick recovery or a big return or block field goal, what have you. Something in that phase is going to have to provide some sort of spark, because when I look at this matchup, I feel like defensively, I think it's safe to say they've taken a small step back this year compared to recent years, which is understandable just given all the talent they lost. But at the same time, when you go into a game like this, that could be the difference between, you know, being able to bend but don't break for so long, and then finally you just kind of break. And I don't want to say it's going to be exactly like the Ohio State game last year, because that was a complete mismatch, especially with the way the offense looked. But Penn State is loaded on both sides of the ball, and my biggest concern with this game is offensively, especially with all the injuries they have, including with Cade McNamara, that if they don't get anything going on the ground early on, that it could end up being a long day, because Penn State is the kind of defense that if you allow them to just pin their ears back, they're going to be able to force turnovers like they did last week against Illinois. And I think in order for Iowa to have any shot, they're going to have to run the ball effectively and keep Drew Aller and the rest of that offense on the sidelines and be able to control the time of possession, because that allows them to shorten the game. That allows them to be in a position where they don't have to put as much pressure on the defense, and you know, it could allow for, you know, big plays to accumulate at some point in the game that can maybe turn it in Iowa's favor.
And that's the crazy thing. It's a 14.5 point spread with a over under of 48, or no, not even that, an over under of
39.5 when I last saw it.
And it's 40 right now, or it is actually on ESPN. Is a lot of that point spread the fact that they don't have their starting tight end and they don't have two of the three running backs that they can maneuver around?
I think that's part of it. And I think part of it too is just they're going into a difficult environment, and this was the toughest game on their schedule by far. We're coming into the season and it's still that. And Penn State, I know you could sit there and say, oh, they didn't look that great against Illinois. They still won that game by 17 points.
Right.
I mean, to be able to, you know, have the turnovers they have, look as sluggish as they did in the first half, and win a game on the road in conference by double digits like that, that tells me that they got a pretty good team. Now, the one thing that could screw it up for them down the road would be James Franklin himself, because he's been a hell of a recruiter, but his in-game coaching in the past is kind of it's burned them in the past.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that it could maybe burn them tomorrow. But again, I feel like it's one of those things. The simplest way I could put it is Iowa can't play any worse than like a B, B plus kind of game in order to get a victory tomorrow. Whereas Penn State, they have the kind of talent where they could maybe play and give like a C-plus performance and still win. So Iowa's going to have to be sharp. They're going to have to be, you know, on guard at all times and, you know, just kind of stick to the plan even if they fall behind early. Because, like I said, if it gets to a point where they abandon the run game, then they're going to be dead to rights on offense.
We talked about the Bears. I just want to get just a quick one. We got about a minute left on the Minnesota Vikings. Are the Minnesota Vikings really at the end of the year going to let Kirk Cousins go because they don't want to give him another big-time contract, or are they going to bite the bullet and keep him?
I don't know if they bite the bullet or not, just because I
it's a lot of
think
money.
That they're going to eventually draft a quarterback next year. I know they took the kid from BYU this past draft, but I think they're going to legitimately look at somebody that they could take in the first round a year from now. But the bigger thing with that is if you're Kirk Cousins, I guess a lot of it's going to hinge on what happens with them Sunday against the Chargers. And if they get off to an 0-3 start, because they still have to play Kansas City, they still have to play San Francisco, and that's all before the month of November, all before the trading deadline. And maybe that gets to a point where it's like, okay, can you save face and try to get something for Kirk Cousins at that point? Because he played great last week for him.
He did.
And that's one of the things that I think you're going to have to continue to monitor here over the next few weeks. Does he continue to play that well? And is it going to be something where he wants to leave? Because I've heard the rumors about, oh, maybe the Jets will try to go after him, but would he want to play behind that same offensive line that just allowed Aaron Rodgers to get hurt?
Exactly.
I mean,
hey, B, I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Have a good weekend. You too. B Styles, rocking it as always. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. One segment left, a little bit of potpourri, a little bit of NFL, and then it's the weekend. The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, 6:30. You get them at 12:30 tomorrow. Chargers, Vikings, Cowboys, Cardinals, Steelers, Raiders on Sunday. Eagles, Buccaneers, Rams, Bengals on Monday. A lot of stuff going on. I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Broadlawns Medical Center for being a part of our program. Okay, let's hit some of these NFL games. I have four of them up here really quick. The Tennessee Titans are in Cleveland. Cleveland is a mess. That game is 39.5. The Titans are a mess. I don't even know where to go on that game. I won't bet it on BetMGM, but if I had to, I would, man, if I was going to do anything, I would take the under on that game. I don't like either team. I think this is the weirdest one. The Falcons, and I get they're 2-0. The Lions are 1-1. The Lions at home with a huge fan base. I'm taking the Lions are 3-point favorites, which pretty much makes it a push. I'm going to take the Lions, and I'm going to take the over on that game. This is another, I mean, they're two in a row. The Saints at the Packers. I get the Saints are 2-0, the Packers are 1-1. The Packers are at home. I will take the Packers -1, and I will take the over on that game as well. 42.5. Broncos, Dolphins 6.5, 48. And this is crazy because I'm taking the 6.5 and I'm taking the over. And the fact that I'm taking three overs means that unders are going to rule this weekend. Next one up on here is the Chargers and the Vikings. Another game that I don't have any idea. Minnesota is -1, which means that they're actually a dog in the game. The over-under is 54. The only thing I'm touching on that, and here it is again, I'm taking an over because I don't trust either one of coaches. I love both quarterbacks. That's crazy. The next one's the Patriots. They're at the Jets. I am not betting against. So New England is -2.5, and the over-under on this game is 36. I don't think they can get to 36. So I'm going to take the under on that game, and I can't trust the Jets in that, and not any more than I trust. I'd take the Patriots in that game as well. The Bills and the Commanders, the Bills on the road, Commanders are at home. Washington, the Bills are 6-point favorites. That's a lot for a road team. I'm going to take Washington. I'm getting points. The over-under on that game is 42.5. I'm going to take the under on that game. Texans and the Jags. I'm gonna hope that the Jags make a comeback here. They're -8. I don't like laying that many points, but I'm gonna take the points. And the over/under is 44. So I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna take my third under in a row after taking all those overs. The Colts and the Ravens. No Anthony Richardson. The Ravens are missing 8 players. It's the Ravens -8. I'll give them that. The over-under on that game is 44 as well. I'm going to take the under on that as well. Panthers, Seahawks. Man, what a tough game. They're in Seattle, though. Seattle's 5.5. I'll take the points. What is the over-under? The over-under's 42. I'm going to take the over on that game. The Bears and the Chiefs, man, what another game. Chiefs at home, and it's 12.5. Man, that's a lot of points. Over under 48. I don't know if the man, I think just, I'm going to take the over, and I am going to take the Bears that they keep this close just because. I have no idea why. But I'm taking the Bears and getting 12.5 points. The Cowboys and the Cardinals. The Cowboys are in Arizona. It's a big game for them. They need to keep this on a roll. The over under is 43. I'm gonna, just because of turnovers, I'm gonna take the over. Dallas is favored by 12.5. That's a lot of points, but I do not believe in the Arizona Cardinals at all. Steelers-Raiders is the NBC game. The Raiders are 2.5, which means at home it's a push. Over-under is 43. I'll take the under. And I will take the Steelers with points. And then the two Monday night games, the Eagles and the Buccaneers. Here's the one thing. I don't care what the over-under is. It's 45. I'm taking the under. Those are two really good defenses. Philadelphia is a 5-point favorite. I will take the five points. And then last game is Rams and Bengals, which is a tough game. The Bengals are at home. I have no idea who's playing and who's not playing. 43.5. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the 43.5 and take the over, and I'm not touching the point spread on that game. I think it's just way too tough to tell. I don't know. It's a crazy week. I mean, there's some big time point spreads that I don't think the Chiefs care if they win that game by 12.5. They just want to win the game. That's it. They want to win the football game because that's all that matters anymore. Let's see here. I did that one already on what happens. Just to do that once again. I don't think that both Iowa and Iowa State are going to lose. One of them's going to win. I think Iowa State has an easier way to win. I think I'd be more shocked if Iowa wins just because of playing at Penn State. I don't know. And this was the big talk. We talked about it a little bit the other day. Will Caitlin Clark forego her fifth year of eligibility and go straight to the pros? Man, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Here's the thing that I do know, that the people around her are amazing people, and there's a lot of them, and they're going to make the right decision for her. Right now, and this is the interesting part, I think Alea Boston plays for Indiana. I think Indiana has the number one overall pick, and it's Alea Boston. Alea Boston and Caitlin Clark together on a basketball floor playing against people in the WNBA, man, that would be the tough part. I mean, here's the reason that she won't. It's money. Unlike everybody else, it's the money going the other way. She probably has an opportunity to make more money in college and hang out with all of her friends, which she has real close friendships with. It's close to home. I think if the Lynx would have had, Minnesota would have had that number one pick, maybe it would be more enticing. I don't know. But playing with Alea Boston, man, that could be the next 10 years of incredible teammates right there. It's gonna be interesting. Andy Dalton gets a start this weekend. I think that's interesting. I think Carolina has a bigger chance of winning with him there. Guess what? Bryce Young is exactly what we thought he was, a very talented football player, has everything that you want, leadership, ability, tiny. And that's what is happening. And I don't know how you get out of that. I had to say this one because I totally agree. And Herm Edwards was on the Dan Patrick Show, to give them both credit. He goes, this is what happens in pro football a lot. Coaches come in with systems, and their system is bigger than the player. If you want to be a successful coach, you have to massage your system around the player's skill set. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy had to realize what Patrick Mahomes was. Josh McDaniel knew what he had in Tom Brady. Jalen Hurts, they know what they need to do. With Brock Purdy, they know what they do. It works with their system. You have to be able to do the best attributes. And I said that if Brock Purdy was in with the Chicago Bears right now, I don't even know if he'd be a starting quarterback. But in San Francisco, that works. That's the toughest thing about all of this. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. Happy Friday, everybody. Glad you came in this week. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Have a great weekend. We'll talk about all these picks when we come back in on Monday. Enjoy. See you then.